Well, last week was a difficult sermon for me personally. It wasn't any happiness to it. It is happiness. It's a good news that Jesus came to this earth. He lived. He died. He was resurrected from the dead. But it always affects me to know that God would love an old broke-down cowboy like me so much that he'd let his son die for me. And that's a great, great power and a great, great truth. But I told you this week we'd do a happy sermon. So that's exactly what we want to do this morning. I like to preach about happiness because I like to be happy. And you do too. In fact, I think that it's probably the most single, sought-after characteristic of all mankind. We want to be happy, and man searches diligently to try to find happiness. The problem is that many times we search in the wrong place. For happiness. Some of the happiest times that I can think of were simple things. Having my family around me is a happy, happy thing. That's the reason why I like Thanksgiving better than I like Christmas. Because you don't have to worry about it giving any presents or giving out presents. You just are together. And, of course, the dressing and the potato casserole, and that's all kind of perks, you know, go along with it. And makes you happy. Think about the times in your life when you are the happiest. Wasn't it the simple thing? Was it simple things? That's because the right kind of happiness doesn't depend upon things. And there's a happiness that we have in this world, and there's nothing wrong with it. But the happiness that we find in just this world is temporary. Because this world's temporary. We're just passing through. And heavens knows there's enough in this world to get us down. So if we want to concentrate on the heartache and the pain and the sorrow and the temptations and the struggles, we'll never find any happiness, much less the joy of happiness. And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning. Because there is such a thing as the joy of happiness. And that is attainable for any of us and all of us, but it comes only through God. It comes only through the things that last. If you want a happiness, a joy of happiness, something that will last, it has to be based upon that which will last. And the only thing that's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow is Jesus. And so when we start talking about happiness, the real joy of happiness, it comes through Jesus. The good news, Jesus came to this earth. He lived, he died, he was buried, he was resurrected. That, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, is the good news. And there, partner, there's where we're going to find the joy of happiness. Well, when you start talking about that kind of joy, that kind of happiness, it comes to us because it is a gift of God. Going all the way back to the time whenever Jesus was born and the angels appeared unto the shepherds, in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, the shepherd said, I bring you good tidings of, now watch it, great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then near the end of Jesus' life here on this earth, in John 15 and verse 11, Jesus says to his disciples, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain with you, and that your joy might be full or complete. So Jesus' life on this earth began in a message of joy. And in his leaving, he tells his disciples, I'm going to leave you my joy, my happiness. We can have joy of happiness. Because my Jesus said, I'm going to give it to you as a gift. I want you to have it. I want you to be happy, and God does. Listen to this, people. God wants you to be happy. It's really no mark of spirituality for us to always go around with the sad faces and a down countenance. That doesn't proclaim the Savior to anyone. Who wants that? The world, I've already told you, is grasping and clawing and scratching to find happiness. Who wants a religion that weighs you down? We want something to lift us up. And that's Jesus. That's what he does. He gives us the opportunity to truly know happiness. All throughout the Bible. Psalms 1 and verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words were to me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 7. You shall rejoice in the Lord that ye put your hand, whatever you put your hand to. Ezra 6 and verse 22. The Lord hath made me glad. And of course, Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. One of the themes, one of the major themes of the Bible is joy. So why would not the Lord want us to be happy? Of course he does. Of course he does. You remember whenever David in Psalms 51 was so burdened by the horrible sin that he'd committed. And whenever he came to the realization of that and was pleading with God for forgiveness. In Psalm 51 and verse 8, David said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that my bones which have been broken may rejoice." And in verse 12, he said, "God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." What David had missed by being separated from God by his sin was the joy of happiness. Because that's found whenever our soul is at peace with God, which is the only time that we can really be at peace with ourselves or with others. So it is a gift. Happiness, joy, peace are gifts of God. But there's conditions under which that joy and happiness is given. I knew it. I knew it. You got to ruin everything. Hey, I knew there was some kind of catch somewhere. Now wait just a minute. Let's talk about it before you get ready to throw this gift in the trash can. Every gift has some conditions. If I give you a shirt, you got to wear it. If I were to give you a car, you got to drive it. Doesn't mean that it's not a gift because you've got to use it, or there's something that you've got to do to appropriate it. And the same thing is true with God's gift of joy. There are some conditions, those conditions are that we obey God. The gift comes through obedience. Whenever the people on the day of Pentecost asked men and brethren, "What must we do?" they were told, "Repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And when we look back in the book of Acts, we see that when people did this, what happened to them? Like in Acts 8 and verse 35, when Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, and they came to a certain place and there was water, and he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "Well, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you may." And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And they went under the water and baptized him. And it said that they went out both in the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And watch this now. And he went on his way rejoicing. And what about the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 who asked Paul, what I need to do? And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And Paul teaches him here in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 34, teaches him Jesus. And in verse 34, we read how that it says that in the same hour of the night they were baptized, and he rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Only when I fully surrender myself to God do I have access to a joy of happiness, people? It's there, and it can be found, and it's not hard. But when one becomes a Christian, and Christ is the center of their life, we're led by the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 14. And in Galatians 5, verses 20 through 23, there Paul tells us the fruit of that Spirit in our lives is these things. And I want you to listen to them carefully. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are what comes in this precious, awesome gift of happiness from God. And in Romans 15, verse 13, Paul says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope." In John 14 through chapter 16, there in just these three chapters alone, more than 20 times, Jesus promises joy or talks about joy and happiness and peace. He wants you to be happy. And you can be. And what we see here is that faith and hope brings us happiness. Remember last week when we talked about how that the apostles and the followers of Jesus were so devastated whenever he was put to death? And how that on that resurrection morning, whenever the women came back and told the apostles that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and they didn't believe it. But then whenever they really came to know that tomb was empty, at the change that took place in their life. Matt Bassing's doing an awesome job of teaching our class on Sunday morning, and we're in the book of Acts. And one of the things he just keeps going over and impressing on us is to look at these disciples. Look at the change that takes place in them from those the cowardly act of just scattering or denying that they ever knew the Master, to these men who boldly, before the same Sanhedrin that put the Lord to death, stand so powerfully and so courageously and says, "We're going to listen to God rather than you." Even though they just beat them and beat them, they just kept on preaching Jesus. And the change, the powerful change that came about, and was the fact that they found a joy in the truth that Jesus lives. And in John 16, verse 20, is one of the places where Jesus told them before he ever died, he said, "You shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall turn," watch it now, "to joy." Your sorrow will turn to joy. And man, I like this one right here. John 16, verse 22, when he told them, he said, "You therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy, no one, can take from you." Did you hear what he had to say, people? Yes, you're going to have to go through this, but I'm telling you, I'm going to give you a joy that nobody can take away from you. Isn't that awesome to know that in this life, right here, with all of these problems and burdens and struggles that we've got, there is a happiness, a joy of happiness, if you will, that nobody, not Satan, not any of his angels, not any of the temptations, not any of the struggles, nothing can take away from you. That, partner, is a power. That's a power. And you can take that to the bank. Well, when we're talking about this, as we've already began, is the resurrection is the basis of that. And in John 20, verse 19, there we find the disciples fleeing for fear of the Jews. And then in Luke 24, verses 36 through 37, is when Jesus appears to them in the midst of them, and he says unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and afraid. And then we see him appearing several other times after the resurrection. And each time he says, "Peace be unto you." That's his greeting. I want to bring you peace. And then Jesus tells these disciples in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And it came along with an awesome promise of great joy, because he goes on to say, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the ages." From chaos and from sorrow and came an unwavering faith and a hope and a power, because Jesus had defeated death. And I know that I can too. And that is an awesome basis for happiness. But then finally this morning, we can have happiness even in spite of all the trials and the problems of life. You remember whenever I told you at the very start of this that this joy of happiness we wanted to talk about this morning was different. We buy a brand new car and we're really, really happy. And then we go to Walmart and we come out and our door's dinged or got a scratch on our brand new car. And there goes our happiness. The Hogs win 17-1. And man, we are happy. But it's a 3-game series. And the next game, they can't hit anything. And they lose 12-0. And there goes our sorrow. Our happiness is gone. Lasted one day, one game. But life is a series. We have to look beyond the things of this life, because there's some struggles in life that can really, really, really get us down. We have to deal with illnesses that take our life. We have loved ones that we have to say goodbye to. That's hard. That's hard. There's just the day-to-day grind when there's always something there. that just keeps, pulling at you, Friends that want you to go and do these things with them, and just life issues. Every month we're reminded that there are bills to pay. We enjoyed watching the TV, but at the end of the month, the cable bill comes in. You got to pay for it. And life is just like that. Life is just exactly like that. I mean, it goes along, and we follow here after this thing and after the other. And then life sends us a bill. I think about how that, again, we've used this guy is because he's so much like us. And the reason why God put him in here was to try to get through this old thick skull of mine and yours, because the prodigal son was promised the bright lights in the far country, and man, he had it. But the bill came due. And he found himself in a hog pen. That's life. That's life, partner. And you know I'm telling you the truth, because you've been there and you've done that. What we try to do, like with our children, and guys, listen to me. Your parents are trying to keep you from having to pay a bill that you cannot afford. That's why they're concerned about you. That's why they say, no, I don't think I want you to do that. Because they see down the road a little further than you do, and they know that there's a bill to pay. It's called consequences. And sometimes those consequences you have to live with the rest of your life. So here's a beautiful, awesome thought, that even in this world where these things happen, and some people will never know joy or peace because it's never attainable, because they impose such impossible conditions. They say, the only way I'm going to be happy is if nothing bad's happening. Well, I'm sorry. Hello? You live in this world? Then you're going to have some problems, brother. And you're going to have some struggles. If you're looking for a place where there's no heartache, no pain, no suffering, where there's never any death, where the hearse never rumbles down its golden streets, there is such a place. Watch me now. But it ain't here. It's not in this life. It's not on this ball of mud. There is such a place. You'll never know any of those problems or heartaches. And that's what Jesus is trying to give us. Listen to John 16, verse 33. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's your master talking. The apostle Paul that wrote Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, wrote that from a prison. He was in a dungeon whenever he wrote those words. But he also was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to buffet him, it said, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And he asked the Lord to take it away. He asked him three times. And God's answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. In weakness is my power perfected. And here's Paul's response, which ought to be the attitude of every Christian. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. His joy was not going to be determined by his thorn in the flesh, because he had access to a wonderful and marvelous gift of God called the joy of happiness. And my God, our Father, wants you to have that gift this morning. So, if you find you're traveling down the dead-end road, it's time to come back home. If you need to commit your life to the only Master and King that can give you this joy of happiness. And will you come while together we stand and sing?
Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come.